During the past 3 years, the U.S. House of Representatives has trimmed its committee staff by about 20%, a money-saving measure led by Speaker John Boehner.
During that same time period, however, the chamber increased its press office staff by nearly 15%. The trend suggests a possible emphasis on political messaging over actual legislation and investigation. Central Times weekly congressional expert, USA Today politics editor Paul Singer, reported that story today.
Also in congressional news, today is the 50th anniversary of the passage of the landmark Civil Rights Act. While lawmakers celebrated that anniversary at the Capitol this morning, it raises the question, could today's Congress actually pass that kind of bipartisan legislation? USA Today politics editor Paul Singer joins us now and every week at about this time to hold Congress's proverbial feet to the fire. Paul, welcome back.
How you doing, Rob? Good to talk to you.
Yeah, well, the anniversary of the Civil Rights Act, a lot of talk today about the significance of that. How does it fit into the significance as far as a part of congressional history?
Well, you know, there are moments in congressional history when Congress sort of, you know, rises up to do fairly dramatic things. And keep in mind, the Civil Rights Act was not a standalone piece of legislation, right? There were several other bills around that same time that were passing through Congress, you know, that really dramatically reshaped America. You know, the Voting Rights Act was part of that as well. And, you know, there's this whole Great Society project that LBJ was driving. Now, of course, there will be people who will argue now that some of those laws have, the time has come and passed for them and they're no longer relevant, whatever. You can, you know, there's a whole series of political arguments to be made. But I think it is very clear that Congress was sort of reshaping the history of the nation at that period of time, which, of course, they're not doing now with a couple of kind of outstanding exceptions. I mean, I think the Health Care Act is the one, the Affordable Care Act is the only thing close to it that's happened in the past, you know, I don't know, decade or so, where a real sweeping piece of social legislation has passed. And even that was almost completely partisan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Civil Rights Act took a lot of across-the-aisle negotiating and agreement. Is there a chance that something like that could happen in today's partisan Congress?
No. I mean, no. The only thing that can pass in a Congress like this is if we are attacked again by terrorists and another Patriot Act is passed. When there's this moment that everyone decides that being American matters more than being whatever party you're defending. But the way Congress operates, there is increasingly little agreement on almost anything. And every bill is an opportunity to message why your opposition, why your opponent party are bad human beings. It's not an opportunity to make major legislation, to make major policy.
You talk to Congress people, do they look back on something like the Civil Rights Act and think maybe wistfully or something like, hey, why can't we do that? Or is that just ancient history?
Yeah, we have these conversations a lot, actually, with members talking about how, oh, remember when we used to all get together and we'd, you know, go out and have dinners together and we'd have these events and stuff and we'd, you know, get to know each other and then we could cooperate across the aisle. I'm not entirely sure it's true, honestly. I mean, there's a lot of social activity still. Members of Congress play in, you know, the annual softball game and the baseball game and the football game and the soccer game. And, you know, they do actually, you know, hang out and get to know each other. But the fact of the matter is that their votes are cooked into a political system that requires them to be as combative as possible. The nation is not currently willing to see people compromise to achieve big goals. It's just not where we're at as a nation.
Well, let's get into some of how Congress does stuff today. You did a behind-the-scenes article out today looking at maybe a quantifiable trend in Congress of prioritizing political messaging over actual legislating. What did you find?
Well, we started to look at a couple of committees that we thought had, you know, significantly large press operations. And, of course, as we were looking at it, we had to think, well, compared to what? I mean, how big is this press operation? You've got, you know, eight people doing press. Is that a big or a small committee press operation? And so we compared back a few years. What we discovered is that the number of committee staff overall in the House of Representatives has dropped by about 20% since 2010, which is when the Democrats ran the chamber last. There were, at that point, about 1,500 committee staff. Now there's about 1,200 committee staff. But in the same time period, the number of press staff on those committees has risen from about 75 to about 85. And they make up a bigger chunk of the committee's work. We also know that there are other members of staff that talk to the press and do communications as well. And that you can actually count, you can see that Congress is clearly, even as it's trying to save money and cut down on staff and resources, it's clearly emphasizing communications, press, Twitter, Facebook, and sort of just a general talking about itself.
Well, tell us about the people on these committees. Are they neutrals brought in from the outside to do some of the heavy legwork, or are they partisan appointees?
They are all partisan appointees, almost all partisan appointees. There are some exceptions. But you are hired by, usually, you are hired by either the chairman, that is the majority party, or the ranking member of the minority party to serve those members, the Democrats or the Republicans, on that committee. There are a couple of exceptions, and in some cases, they end up hiring, you know, experts in a field, particularly on the defense committees, you'll see this, on the appropriations spending committees, you'll see this. They hire these professional staff members who really are professionals in an area like, you know, I don't know, Mideast peace talks, because you need experts who are able to then tell Congress whether or not they're getting the price they should be getting for buying this particular widget or for, you know, building this weapon system. Some of those folks are nonpartisan, but almost everybody else is a partisan appointee, and the spokespeople, the press people, are entirely partisan.
So you've seen an increasing proportion, even as the overall number is cut, there's more press and communications types in there. You work with these committees as part of your job. You listen to what they say, try to get information from them. Does it feel different? Does it feel less accomplishy, more talky?
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things that got us started on this is that some of these committees, you know, I mean, they produce very little legislation. They don't have meaningful hearings to move a topic, to move a subject area. And I went back and I looked at some old hearings on both Republican and Democratic committees, you know, hearings about steroids in baseball, hearings about FDA regulation of drugs, hearings even about, you know, the Medicaid donut hole, whatever it is, you know, things that government should be looking at. Are we spending our money properly and things like that? They just don't do much of that anymore. Now they have hearings that they say stuff. If it's a Democratic-run hearing, you'll see a hearing about, you know, why Obamacare is good for America. If it's a Republican-run hearing, you'll see why Obamacare is bad for America. I mean, they really become just messaging opportunities.
And so what do they do with it? I mean, is this do they get it up on C-SPAN and talk about it there or issue lots of press releases?
It's all, I mean, now they have websites that are dedicated to specific investigations. If you go to the Oversight Committee, they have an entire video department that's doing videos, some of which are just no more than two-minute commercials kind of mocking the administration for something or, you know, for a particular policy. They have, you know, Twitter feeds that are designed specifically to address a particular issue. They have Facebook pages and chats and all this stuff. Now, you could argue that all the development of new technology is required these new staff. But there's also an argument that, in fact, the development of new technology requires fewer staff because fewer people can do more with technology. You no longer need to be, you know, typing up a press release and sending it out in the mail. You no longer need to be answering the paper mail. Now, technology allows you to do a lot of this stuff. But yeah, it's a very different, it's a much more proactive kind of thing where these guys are sending press releases, emails, web things, Twitter posts all day long, and almost all of them, Democrats and Republicans, are about why we are good and the other guys are bad.
And all this public relations must be boosting the image of Congress.
Yeah, right. I mean, I think it's lowest it's ever been. At the moment, I'm missing my most recent Gallup poll in front of me, but I know congressional approval ratings amongst the public are, you know, in the low two digits, 10% of people approve of what Congress is doing, you know. And I think part of it is because everybody demonizes everybody else. And so what you hear is not, gosh, I have a disagreement about immigration. Gosh, we need to handle this issue and figure out a way to work it out. It's, gosh, the other guys are trying to destroy America.
Paul, before we let you go, I want to move on briefly. The Mississippi Senate primary done last week. We thought Senator Thad Cochran had won. His challenger isn't quite buying that yet. Just in 40 seconds or so, what's going on there?
Yeah, it's a circus. Chris McDaniel is the Tea Party challenger. They got to a runoff. In the runoff, Thad Cochran managed to win by about 6,000 votes. Part of the way he did that was by reaching out to Democrats, to black voters, to union voters, and asking them to support him in a Republican primary. A bunch of them did. Chris McDaniel is now alleging that a lot of these people voted illegally because they had already voted in a Democratic primary. It just now, as we're on the phone here, there was a Cochran press conference going on today that said that McDaniel has no proof of that, and if he, you know, had proof, he would show it. That press conference call apparently got cut off because some hecklers joined the call. I mean, it's become just a circus. McDaniel is raising money as if he's going to file suit. We'll see whether he does.
We'll be watching Mississippi, I guess. Paul, thanks for joining us again.
Hey, have a great fourth, Rob.
You too. That's USA Today politics editor Paul Singer. He joins us each week at this time to give us the latest news from Congress.